Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine adversary, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind. Wick, whack, sit on attack, take your mummy and go home. I don't know where the bone is, I don't know where the monkey is, I don't know where the cheetah is. Where is Chitara? Chitara is not here anymore. She went into the ocean, dropped down a few leagues, and then she became a whole league of her own. Why? I don't know. I don't make this stuff. Well, maybe I do make some of this stuff up, but I think maybe the other stuff is not mine made up. I'm going to press that button so it doesn't make that noise anymore, because I don't like that noise. That noise pisses me off, so I made it stop make that noise, and the noise is now going to stop. And I'm going to talk a little faster, just so I can go a little faster, see how much faster I can go. And I don't know, but I'm going to stop now. Take it a little slower. Take it a little slower. Take it a little slower. And you know what? I think... Yesterday's thunderstorms was really insane. It was just insane. It was 1 year to the day in which we had the flooding in Toronto here. And I think there were some other places around the areas as well. All that rain. But then 1 year to the day, we have another massive storm. Not so much on the flooding, not so much on the power outage and everything, but everything's cool. And then we're back to the other main line of going. This is the After Rot Show. And I want you all to know, I'm happy you're here. I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy the Dingleberries are here, too, because they're going, dingle, 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 dingle. EW?
Don't even bring me in on a Dingleberry note.
I just wanted to say, do you know how much I dance before the song as the song intro song goes?
19 seconds?
Well, yeah, it's exactly 19 seconds, because that's how I cut it. But do you know how much I dance before while I'm doing that, like the bit's going?
Well, that was my guess, 19 seconds.
Oh, well, normally not at all, but I decided to do some today. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho, ha ha. Psyched you mine. Why? Because I don't know, I'm crazy. That's what I do.
Wait, how much sleep have you had?
Sleep?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I think I got about 4 in.
That explains the dance.
Yeah, a wee bit. I got my fifth Coke of the day going on here. I had about 6 cookies today. I had pizza for lunch.
Oh.
With meat. And lots of meat. Lots of meat. Meat. Meat is good on pizza. Do you know what the best meat on pizza is?
Well, I was going to say pepperoni, Italian sausage.
I don't like the Italian sausage. Sorry.
No? Really?
No.
Of course, beef, bacon... Canadian bacon. Yes, I say Canadian bacon. I know it's ham.
No, it's not. It's actually different than ham. Keep going.
Trying to remember all my list of meats here. I'm hoping you're not about to say anchovies.
Anchovies is not a freaking meat.
Thank you.
Anchovies is fucking is disgusting.
There's an edit for later.
Nah, I'll leave it in. What the hell? It's like, what? Yeah. What? I got the PG crowd? Oh, I do have some PG. Oh my gosh, I got it! No, I don't know. They should know the words by now. I'm sure they've heard worse. What? No. The main answer to that question was, what's the best kind of meat to have on pizza?
All of them.
More!
Oh, more.
But the one that you didn't mention, which is actually one of my favorite meats on pizza, along with the bacon, is chicken.
Yes, there is actually a really good, and I forgot who did it, but it was a chicken Alfredo pizza. And, oh my god!
Well, there's an Alfredo style pizza. I can't remember the name of it, but my local pizza place does it. But it has sliced potato on it, so it's like you're eating potato chips on pizza. Ooh. This is supposed to be the poor man's Italian pizza, what they used to do in the old country, because it's a lot. I guess more cost effective to make that pizza than it is to make the others with tomato sauce on it. Because it uses a white sauce. It uses the basic bread and whatever and some cheese and then whatever. It's like, bam, there you go. You've got pizza and you've got a meal.
Right.
Why are we talking pizza?
I have. You brought it up. Yeah, see, Keenan's asked a really good question.
But it's not. It's not ham.
What is it then?
It's still pig.
It's pretty much the same way as bacon is still pig. Pretty much the way pork chops is still pig. But when you get pork chops and you get ham, they are not the same.
Well, it's a different cut. So are you telling me Canadian bacon is a different cut?
Exactly.
Hmm.
It doesn't look like ham. It doesn't taste like ham. And I know this because I like ham. And I like Canadian bacon. Sorry, what we call back bacon.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a different name for it. I was going to ask you that, but you said it.
Back bacon. And we also call it female bacon.
I don't want to know why.
I don't know why either. It's one of those things I never really bothered thinking about or looking it up, but a thing. But yes, as Mark says, it's cured differently.
Mm-hmm.
It does taste different. You don't take a slice of ham and take a slice of back bacon and throw it on a skillet and say, oh, look, it. No, they taste different. They look different, they have a different consistency, and they taste different. And they still taste good. But we're going to move along now, because we're finished with the porkin'.
No
pork and beans! Ooh. I haven't had pork and beans in ages.
You know, somebody mentioned, it's funny you say that, because somebody mentioned beanie weenies to me last night. And I have
no idea what the hell that refers to.
Oh my god, beanie weenies is a form of pork and beans. It's just it comes in a smaller can, and you could just sit there and eat them right
out
of
it. That sounds silly. Okay. Do you know what would be good, though, what I'm really feeling hungry about right now?
What's that?
Wieners, chopped up, little bits, chopped up, some beans, some macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese, yes.
All thrown into the same pot. I could eat that right now.
I don't know if I've ever tried them all together. I've done weenies with macaroni and cheese, and I've done weenies with pork and beans, but not mixing them all together. I don't think I've ever done that.
I really regret that this little old lady who used to work at the market where I play on the weekend, they moved out. They stopped doing the restaurant they had in there. She used to make baked mac and cheese, and it was so awesome, because she'd bake it in, well, when you know how you boil the macaroni, you use water.
Right.
She used oil, olive oil, instead.
Okay.
Dude, it is freaking awesome.
Well, it's kind of like frying them and frying the noodles instead.
Pretty much.
Which, I don't know if you have Taco Bell up there, but if you've ever had their...
I have never eaten at a Taco Bell because the only one... Sorry, I've eaten there once.
Okay.
Well, I will never repeat.
These things, they're some kind of cinnamon twist, I think is what they call them. And what the twist actually is a deep fried noodle.
I ain't putting my noodle near anybody's deep fryer. It's staying with me.
That's what happens.
No.
You get that puff. That is a deep-fried noodle.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but there's never been a Taco Bell that I've ever been near that I could stand the smell of. It's just the smell of the place. Can't stand it.
See, I think that's why you got all these places. Well, Taco Bell,
Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut are all part of the Pepsi food services industry.
Exactly, and you're starting to find that they're combining two or three, all three.
Starting? They've been doing it for the last 20 years.
Well, you know, not...
Up here, they've been doing it for the last 20 years.
I was going to say, because I still find standalone stores quite a bit.
Well, find my current Pizza Hut is actually a standalone place right now, but it's mostly just a takeout place.
Takeout or delivery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's kind of similar to most of ours here. There's a couple that still have a, you know, sit down, as far as Pizza Hut. But, the Taco Bell I'm thinking of around here has a KFC connected to it. So you walk in and you smell the chicken. So. Yeah.
Well, that was the last Taco Bell I was near as well. It was connected to a Pizza Hut. And it's like, really? Pizza Hut? Yeah. I love Pizza Hut. Awesome. Taco Bell? Keep that shit away from me. Blah. Blah. It's like it's not even real Mexican food.
Yeah.
Not that I would actually eat real Mexican food, because unfortunately there's a lot of spices in it that I can't process. So, moving on.
Yes, yes.
This week, today's show, on this show, my show, After Rot, here, I wanted to talk about something. I'm going to make this a very special episode today.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I want to talk about me, gosh darn it!
Wait, don't we do that already?
No, I never talk about me. No, because if I talked about me, I would be like, okay, maybe I'm not going to talk about me all the time, but I'm going to talk about me today. Okay? I'm going to talk about a couple things. First, because it's an ongoing event right now, and people, if they are on Facebook and have a few moments to play around and do stuff, should go visit Clarissa. Oh, I can't pronounce her last name. Well, the book is called Clarissa Dreams. What it is Clarissa is an artist. She's done up a whole bunch of paintings in a style called tempura. I think it's called tempura.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really understand what it was at first. I was like, oh, really? That's interesting. And she's putting out an art book based on it. And each of the drawings, a number of us authory type peoples, wrote either stories or poems and stuff with it. And I have two bits in the book attached to images. One's called The Hand of Doom, and the other one is called Masks. But there's an event going on, basically a release event going on, at Clarissa Dreams. If you look it up online, Clarissa is K-L-A-R-I-S-S-A. And if you put in Dreams, you should be able to find it. They're having a whole party, and there's giveaways, and like they talk about stuff, and they're having fun. I'll be joining it later after the show sometime, but I'm just letting y'all know in the radio land and stuff to go check it out if you get an opportunity.
Do it!
Do it! Do it now! Do it later! Do it earlier. If you can do it earlier. If you can do it earlier, it's like, give me your time machine, because I could use that for some stuff. Nasty stuff. I could take over the world with that.
With the time machine?
Yes. With the time machine, I could take... All I would need to do is go back about 10 minutes.
And take over the world in 10 minutes.
No. I wouldn't be taking over the world in 10 minutes. It would probably still be about a 2.5-year plan. It would accelerate my current projections by a factor that I don't want to share. But if I had a time machine that would allow me to go back 10, maybe 15 minutes in time, I would be able to take over the world faster time in probably about 2.5 years.
Dun, dun, dun.
I won't tell you how or why, but I can guarantee you that I have a methodology that would guarantee me a way of taking over the world in 2.5 years.
You know,
now, I dare somebody to give me a time machine that would let me do that.
You go back in time.
Double dog dare.
I've thought about how things would change. You realize you change one thing, and you change in an entire future.
Absolutely. Actually, you kill a future and create 10 more.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm familiar with the paradox.
I mean, I've actually
sat back. Breathe it.
I've sat back and had conversations with it, like this with my wife, where she tells me how, you know, she could go back, she'd change things. I'm like, you know, if I change things, what would happen? She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, let's say I didn't come to Texas. That means I would have never met you. I would have never got married to you. I would have never done all the different things that I've done, you know, up to this point. And so far, I just started listing off things. She just kind of paused for a moment and says, yeah, you would have still done that. How would I? It means I would have never met these individuals who might have encouraged me to go that next step.
Exactly. It's what they call the butterfly effect. See, I love the concept because it's such a simple little thing. The idea being, you go back in time, back to the dinosaur age, and you stepped on a butterfly. Mm-hmm. Well, first, you weren't there before. Now you just killed this little butterfly. What are the effects that causes? Well, that butterfly was going to get et by a lizard over here. That lizard was then going to be get et by another lizard over here. That lizard was then going to be et by another bigger lizard. And because that butterfly didn't get over there for that lizard to be et, that lizard died of starvation. And then that lizard over there, he died of starvation. And then that lizard over there, he died of starvation. And then guess what? An entire colony of species died out because they weren't there. And then because that colony of species died out, what happened is the next set of species that would have gone into it and taken over and eaten them, they died out. And then after that species went in, they weren't there. So that meant another species flourished and took over the entire region and killed everything else there, and then the world died.
Interesting. I think he's preparing for his zombie apocalypse.
Boom, 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 boom.
But you are right, though. I just think, though, at one point, and I don't want to say evolution-wise, but in a type of evolution. We would evolve, in a sense, to readapt. I don't think it would totally destroy everything. I just think the adaption would change because, you know.
I, of course, was using an extreme parallel, but that's the point.
I know.
But is it could happen that way.
Totally.
I mean, just like when Homer went back in time and he came back and it was raining donuts.
I would totally.
Same thing.
I would love raining donuts right now.
And Keenan was trying to throw in the, he'd eat another butterfly. But what if that was the only butterfly there? It was the very last piece of food available. And that was what got him past the hurdle to the next level of his life. But because he didn't eat that butterfly, he died. See? I'm just using an analogy, because that's how analogies work. You analogize things. And blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean,
poof, no cookies! What? That can't be allowed to happen.
No cookies.
We cannot permit that to happen. Well, that's okay.
Same thing. How far would zombies get if there were no cookies?
They'd get everywhere. That'd be the problem. We stop for cookies. I'm gonna have a bumper sticker put together so that I break for cookies.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I might do that. I'm pretty sure I can do
chocolate
it.
Chocolate chip picture.
Fudgios, man. Fudgios.
With a bite into it.
Yes. But, so the other thing I want to talk about tonight, mm-hmm. and it's about me. Because it's my show. I want to talk about me today.
Yeah.
I decided the theme today on today's show was me.
Me, 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 me.
Me, me, me. Mine. 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 Mine.
Yours.
Yes. Hell. I want to talk about hell for a bit.
Wait, that's not you.
No, no, I'm in hell.
Oh.
That's why it's about me.
Oh.
So it's not, like, hell's not me. Me. Oh, by the way, on Clarissa Dreams, I did up a nice little nifty trailer for them, too. Check that out, too, because it was neat.
Hmm.
I posted it somewhere. And I'll post it again somewhere, too. And if you're not following me on Facebook, what the heck's wrong with you? Like, seriously.
Right, right.
Back to me. Hell.
Wait.
What?
Following you on Facebook, isn't there something I've never heard you say?
What?
Never heard about a Afterrot Facebook page.
There is an Afterrot Facebook page.
But you never tell anybody.
I so do tell people about it. I said, come see the Afterrot, come see the zombie, and whatever. And I share on the Zombie Zach Facebook page all the time saying, come visit the Afterrot.
Where is that Afterrot page?
It's facebook.com/Afterrot.
There it is.
Rot, never stop. Never stop until I've got all of it.
And who's it about?
Me.
There you go.
It's all about me. Me, 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 me. Do you know what is really cool and I'm going to make some people jealous? And if Larry were on here, I would make him so jealous of it right now.
Oh?
I might make Jack jealous of it right now, but I'm going to take it and say it anyways. I got some Iron Maiden beer.
Yes.
Beer.
I heard about that.
I'm told apparently it's a very good beer. Or don't know. I don't actually drink beer myself. But I do love the band Iron Maiden, so I've got it on my collection right over there.
I did not know Iron Maiden made a beer.
Iron Maiden is much like Kiss. They'll make anything, as long as somebody will pay them for it, and they can do a good version of it. They actually are not like Kiss in that regard.
Now you gotta tell everybody what that beer tastes like.
How the fuck would I know? How the hell would I know what it tastes like? I don't drink beer.
Edit number two.
No edits. I'm leaving that stuff in. Scrap it. This isn't a new thing. This is live radio, man. I was talking to some people the other day. It's like, you do your show live? Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it live. Why? It's more fun.
It actually is versus the pre-record where you clean it up and make it sound up.
It's like pre-record. Yeah, okay. That's great. I mean, I understand some of our guests will be, and I'm going to start doing guests soon, too. Some of the guests can't make it at the specific times. Like, okay, great, we want the guest on, so we'll talk at different times. And it's like, all right, we'll make it fun anyways. But live's where it's at. Live, you can hang out with your pants out if you actually wear those things, or you could be fully dressed in a suit of armor. Either way, it's all good.
Pantaloons.
Pantaloons. Bow, no, no, no.
Oh, what about you in hell?
Me and hell. I'm in hell. I write some stories for the Hell anthology, Heroes in Hell. I want to talk about Heroes in Hell for a bit. In 1986, Janet Morris and Chris Morris were part of a writing cabal that was doing a series called Thieves World. Don't know if you're all familiar with it. If you're not, you should read it. It was actually a fun thing. It was a shared world universe, in which all of the various authors from various stripes of fantasy, mostly fantasy, some sci-fi people, but they were mostly fantasy authors, and they were writing stories with characters that would connect and meet and discuss the same universe, same city, same townscapes, and everything else. And then Janet and Chris decided that they wanted to move on to a larger world, so they expanded their characters out into a bigger world, and then they started doing their own stuff with that, and then they hit upon the idea of doing a series about being in hell. Because, hey, let's face it, who wouldn't want to write about characters stuck in hell? I mean, famous characters like, oh, I don't know, Napoleon Bonaparte and, what the heck's his first name, Wellington? Why is it that I can never remember Wellington's first name?
Beef?
No.
Oh.
And that would be Boof. Duke Wellington.
Ah, yes, yes.
No, but the guy that Napoleon fought in the wars.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, can't remember his name. Or Genghis Khan, or Caesar and Brutus. All these fun people. That you know that if you're going to consider and equalize with the concept of hell in the first place, well, almost everybody's going to go there, because how many commandments are there in the Bible?
10.
No.
Hmm?
There are 616.
Okay.
10 are just the main highlight points.
Who counted these things?
I don't know, but apparently somebody did, and it's like, okay, I'll take your word for it that 616 sounds like an about right, because I'm sure there was stuff in there like, oh, besides the thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things, thou shalt not steal, all that stuff. There were other ones like, thou shalt not lie down in a bed of pigs. Stuff like that.
But what if you're really tired?
You get a pile of straw and sleep over there. I don't know. It's been a very long time since I read the Bible thing.
I don't recall that being a thou shall not.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was.
Interesting.
Because I also read some other ones. It's like, well, I get that. I wouldn't do it anyway, so it's great that you put that in as a comment on, hey, don't do this. I'm not going to do it anyways.
Archer Weasley?
I don't know about that. That's the Duke of Wellington.
Well, yeah, that's... Keenan was trying to answer your...
Oh, maybe that is it. Maybe he's correct. You know, there is a possibility, because I don't know everything.
Wait a second, I thought you knew everything.
No.
Aren't you the great and powerful zombie?
And I am, yes, that is me.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but I don't know everything. I just know a lot of things, most of it useless.
Jack lied to me. He said you knew everything.
Okay. I know everything then. That's me. Field Marshal, His Grace, the Duke of Wellington.
Beef Wellington.
That's it. I gotta know his name. Where the hell is... Oh, it is Wellesley. Yeah, he's right.
There we go.
Whatever. But yeah, he's right. Arthur Wellesley, born May 1, 1769. What, 6 Marion Street, Dublin, Ireland. He's Irish. Whoa. Isn't it?
What was that?
He died 83 years old. Back then, that's like ancient.
Interesting.
Rather. Well. History lesson done for the day.
Uh-huh.
So, cool idea, writing about characters like this in hell. What happens after they died? Well, they continued on with their lives. They continued on with their battles. They continued on with their, hey, what kind of silly craziness would we be doing? Well, Napoleon and obviously Wellington would probably still want to fight each other, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they ended up becoming friends, though.
Oh.
And they became friends with Genghis Khan. Which is kind of an odd mix, because, you know, Genghis Khan wouldn't exactly strike you as being a very friendly fellow, now would he?
This is true.
So, That's how Hell Series was born. So between 86 to 89, they put together about 12 books, I believe. Two of them, I think, were full-length novels. And then the rest of them were all anthologies, a bunch of short stories, a bunch of characters with some basic rules. And then, hey, you can do whatever the hell you want with this world because it's hell. It can be anything your imagination could possibly put together. And then Janet and the rest of the people there all sort of like split up and went different ways, going on to different things. And then, hey, lo and behold, 2011 swings around. And they get back, or a different group of people together around Janet, and they start putting together a whole new series of Hell book. The first one out was called Lawyers in Hell. And I found out about that. It was like, holy crappy! Holy crap! Holy crappy! Holy holes! Not sure I was mixing up my metaphors there. Because I grew up reading the Heroes in Hell series, and it was like, oh, I love that stuff. Because just the whole idea is like you can do anything was awesome.
Yep.
And then I ended up just sort of, I randomly threw some comments on the pages or whatever, and it's like, hey, that sounds pretty good. And it's like, yeah, okay, thanks, that's cool. It was later on that I found that it was Janet Morris was playing. It's like, holy crap. That was like kind of a surprisey wow, because I've read a number of her books, and it's like, that was really cool stuff. It was one of those fanboy type moments, like, holy crap, I'm actually talking to somebody I actually enjoyed their writing from like 20 years ago. It's like, holy jeez. You know what I mean? Yep. And then I got invited to write in the next book after that, which was called Rogues in Hell. And then I got to write another story in Dreamers in Hell. And another story in this book that just got released earlier this month? Last month. Middle last month. Middle last month. Poets in Hell. And it's a whole lot of hell. So my characters are a little on the outside of things because one of my characters, Caliban, is based on Caliban from The Tempest by William Shakespeare.
Oh.
So it's not an actual person who has existed in historical perspective. It is a literary character that has been given life in hell. And my other character, main character, Fionn McCumail, I always try to pronounce his name the right way, but I think I get it wrong, and then sometimes I think I get it right. It's a difficult name to pronounce. All Celtic names are hard to pronounce unless you've pronounced it a number of times. So these guys are best of friends now in hell.
Interesting.
One's a Celtic warrior, and one's basically a lost, broken soul, which is kind of funny. I enjoy it.
It is interesting. Now, is when you say poets in hell, is it a lot of poetry, or because a lot of people think poetry has to rhyme?
No, poetry doesn't have to rhyme. And if you go with the classic poetry, it generally doesn't rhyme. If you read Dante's Divine Comedy, almost all of it doesn't rhyme, and it's three whole books: Paradiso, Purgatory, and Inferno. The three different layers of existence as far as Dante was concerned, heaven, hell, and purgatory.
Right.
So, for me, that was big stuff, because I read that when I was like an early teenager.
Mm-hmm.
When my teachers found out I was reading that, I was like, you're reading this? Yeah? Why? Abandon all hope, he who will enter here. Dude, that stuff's sick. And my teacher didn't understand why I would like that. He liked the fact that I was reading stuff like that, but he didn't get why I would be reading that. Oh, dude, don't you understand? I'm a dark soul, man. Dark soul. Whatever. Rebellious times, you know.
Yeah, they probably didn't know what goth was then.
I wouldn't have called me goth back then either. I've never and probably never ever will be called goth, because I'm not goth. I will be dark-souled, sure. Because I'll go into the dark places and peek around and say, hey, what's going on in there? Oh, it's another rock? Oh, look at that! They're all having fun underneath there. Put the rock back down and go somewhere else. And yes, Jack is correct. Gaelic is a difficult language. I won't use the expression he used, but same thing. So I was very excited when I got approached to write in Hell. I was like, this is awesome! Everything is awesome. If that song was around back then, I would have sung that then.
Now Jack says that there's very few, very little poets and poetry in hell.
No, there's not much poetry in the book, but there are a bunch of poets in the book.
Now, when you say poets, are we saying these authors are poets, or
correct? Most of the people who are writing in the series are not poets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much a number of them probably do some poetry, but most of the poets that are being alluded to as far as the series is concerned, no, gosh darn it, I am no sparkly goth zombie. That's them's fighting words, Jack. Fighting words, I'm telling you. Moving back on. Most of the writers are not poets in and of themselves, but they're writing about and for and with poets.
Right. Let me ask you a question. I know I've asked
seven.
You on one of my interviews with you before.
Uh-oh.
What got you into poetry? Because I think that isn't that where you started to write? It was one of your first books was a poet book?
Yeah. My first book out is a poetry book. It wasn't my first thing written out, published. It was actually a short story about zombies and a unicorn.
Right.
And a cherub.
Yeah, can't forget about the cherub.
Can't forget about the cherub, because the cherub was part of the evil plan. I actually am not really quite sure how I got into the poetry. All I can say is Doc Puss from Library of the Living Dead. I just used to have fun around, and I'd write these little poetic-type ditty bits, and people seemed to like them, and I said, oh, that's cool. And I just kept writing more, and then it got more formalized, and they become an actual little more like poetry, real poetry. So then I started collecting it.
Oh.
And hopefully soon I will have another book of poetry out. Still working out some kinks with some peoples and some stuff, but I do have an actual poetry book out with a publisher to get printed and published and all that fun stuff.
Do I know this publisher? Would this happen to be Sturgeon Press?
No.
Oh, darn.
And I think you're trying to say Stygian Pressed.
Oh, I said it wrong. I'm so sorry.
But that would be R. Scott McCoy's imprint, yeah. And he's a good dude. He's actually in Necrotic Tissue when he was still doing that, was my first published story.
Yep, I remember that.
Zombie unicorns. Because if you're going to go bad, go bad.
I'm only hoping that Necrotic Tissue comes back.
It's a hard sell doing a type of thing like that. Because he put out a lot of work and put a lot of stories in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, how much money was he making on it? I don't know. So I don't think he was making enough, obviously. Because it didn't stay around not much longer after the print editions went. I have all the print copies.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think I do.
You know, he would be shocked, because I don't think he knows anyone who has them all.
Well, we all know Greg has them all.
Does Greg have them all?
Of course Greg has them all.
I could have sworn I heard Greg say he was missing one or two.
Oh. Well, I don't think I have all the printed copies, but I think I have... I know I have a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've read some of them. It was big enough. It's a freaking book, for crying out loud.
Oh, is it really that big?
Yeah, I mean, it's comparable with some of the books that get put out nowadays. It's like the same size. It's like it could be up to 100 pages or whatever for a book like a magazine.
Wow. See, and when I kept hearing it was like a magazine, I thought magazine. I didn't think, wow, that's pretty big.
Yes, it was a very big magazine to be putting out. Lots of content and lots of material. But... And that's how I came to hell.
Yeah, I like that.
I thought so, too. And so now we're trying to get all of the troops gathered, supporting, and like we're going to share all kinds of little things about hell. I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have done 19 videos up on my Team Zombie Zach YouTube page. Go check it out, people, supporting the Hell Projects. And a bunch of other stuff as well. You might even see me talk about stuff, and I might be doing some new stuff there, too! Because I'm kooky.
Three!
Cookies in my belly. Boom, boom. So yeah, that's all I want to talk about me for now. So I think it's about the time where we do the I am.
Right. I think that meant this.
could do you harm. Don't write in starlight, 'cause the words may come out real. Don't hide in doorways, you may find the key.
Strangers, 'cause they're strange, and they've got things, and they hold these, like, shiny, sharp implements, and sometimes they hold these wet, gooey things, and they throw them at you, and then the gooey thing gets inside and starts nibbling away at like, the soft parts of the underbelly where you go, like, in there, and then it eats into your stomach, and then eats through all of the rest of the bits on you, and then you're dead.
Nummy.
Well, Yeah, for the alien particle that they threw at you because it was like some freaky, weird, dimensional alien from another planet that decided to come onto this planet because it wanted a lunch and you look like a free meal. So it said, okay, yeah, that one.
Free meals. Those are good meals. Those are so tasty.
Not all of them. Some of them are dangerous.
Really? I have not met a dangerous meal yet.
I have.
Oh.
They put green stuff in it. I said, what is that? That's food. That's not food. That's food that food eats. Give me some food. Oh, you want meat? Yeah, that's what I want. We don't have meat. Okay, see ya. Bye.
You like green stuff?
No, I don't.
What?
What kind of green stuff do you think I like?
All kinds of green stuff.
No.
No? I don't know. I'm confused then. I don't know a zombie who doesn't like a green thing.
Now, if you're talking about rot is fun to look at, and sometimes it's part of the game. And it's like, oh, look, googly, 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 rot, we got it a lot. That's fine.
Wouldn't that be considered a condiment for a zombie?
No.
No?
Actually, have you never not noticed that the zombies don't actually eat dead things? They eat living things. So they don't eat rot. They make rot. Big difference. Have you not noticed that when the zombie moves, let's attack him, let's kill him. Wait, he's dead now. Let's move on to somebody else. It's the way it works. We don't want to eat the dead people. We want to eat the living people. Because the living people's more fun.
I see.
So, now, at this time around the show, we would normally talk about movies. I'm going to talk about some movies.
Movies.
I saw three movies that I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
I watched again The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Is that the first one or the second one?
That's the first one. The Desolation of Smog is the second one.
Okay.
I am seriously, seriously looking forward to the third one. Because the way that the second one left off Smog, gosh darn it, what the hell happened next? I know what happened next. I read the books a long time ago. But I wanted to see what they do with Smog the dragon and the little town. Oh, what to do? There's going to be calamities galore. Woo! But I enjoyed The Hobbit. I think it's fun. Yeah, it runs a little long, but what the hell did you expect? You knew it was going to be long when you started watching the movie.
Well, I mean, it's the same director from Lord of the Rings. So, yeah. Even though everybody's like, but it's only one book. I don't understand why it's so long.
Oh, well, that's real easy. Have you ever watched a movie made from one book? Guess what? They cut out 80% of it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. Your average book, 300 pages, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an average book. It's not a really big book. It's not a really small book. It's an average book. Now, your average movie, hour and a half to maybe hour three quarters, is based on 80 pages, of which most of it is just scene directorial parts and dialogue. That's not a lot when you compare it to a 300-page book. So, even with a movie like Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, where it was a fairly complete adaptation, there are still things cut out. Right. Now, The Hobbit? Yeah, actually, there are still things cut out in The Hobbit, because they don't have, what's his face? The guy with the multicolored cloak in it yet. He's supposed to show up in the third movie, from what I understand.
Man, you're asking me to remember names?
I'm sure somebody in the chat room might come up with it. But he's basically a bard, a songwriter, singer type character. He's a good character. He's fun. But the big complaint about The Hobbit is that he hasn't showed up earlier in the movies. Because he does show up earlier in the books.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, even that's been cut out. And The Hobbit is not a big book. So it's like about a 200-page book or whatever. So even with the treatment that Jackson is doing, some of the stuff in the movies are not even based in the book. They're based on the ancillary archive type stuff that Tolkien put together afterwards, before words, leading around the book, leading after the book. He had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages and pages and pages and pages of material that never even saw inside the books, but was just, yes, and in Middle-earth there is all this stuff. And hey, look, I'm going to build a language. He built his own freaking language, man. How cool is that?
Yeah.
They killed me, Mel. They killed me with a sword. How weird is that? Sorry. I'm just thinking Mr. Universe from Serenity.
And Jack's actually right. It's pretty much a page a minute in a script.
Yep.
And I know that because I've had to go through that quite a bit. Sadly.
Yep. So, there you go. I mean, you can't have too much of the actual full novel put into a movie. Because in a book format, when you're explaining the stuff that's happening on, you might have pages and pages exploring just the nature of the environment that you're talking in. In a movie, you get a one-minute shot. Special effects. Look, oh, cool. Dragons flying in the background. Whoa. Wait, there's no explanation about any of it. So you're supposed to glue in, and they're supposed to data dump you quicker than that. Whereas in a book, they can take their time to do stuff. So, A Hobbit, Unexpected Journey. Fun. I enjoy the movies. I haven't watched the special features on the disc yet. I will get to it eventually. I like to watch those things. But people don't seem to realize it was a kid's book. It was a YA book before YA was popular. He wrote this for his daughter. Okay? It's not meant to be a very violent movie. Violent book. It was a bedtime story.
I'm trying to remember. Lord of the Rings, though, was pretty...
Lord of the Rings wasn't written for his kid. The Hobbit was.
See,
The Hobbit is basically a Disney-type story.
Right.
It's got a happy ending. Nobody really dies. It's like, okay, well, if you expect anybody to die, you're going to be disappointed. Okay, because the trolls and orcs die because they're just cannon fodder. But you don't ever actually see any blood splurting or any body parts going flying off. But you do see the one guy beating the other guy with the arm pulled off of the body. And that's pretty cool. But I don't think they actually explored that in The Hobbit, the book actually itself. That's sort of embellished. But still, I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie. It's one of those like, yeah, watch it. Ooh, look, cool. Arcs, they killed people. All right, cool, yay. So the other movie I watched that I'm going to talk about is one that you don't like.
Yeah.
Not the one that we talked about earlier.
Twinkle?
No.
No?
Event Horizon.
Yeah.
See, you're ambivalent on the movie because you didn't like it. I don't know why you didn't like it. I thought the movie was cool as hell because the concept was neat.
It's okay concept. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not seeing it's like on my... won't watch anymore list, but
it's one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
I guess to me, see, this is my thing. Everybody doesn't understand me on horror. I'm not one of those people who have to watch a horror movie to, you know, have the snot scared out of me. You can keep me on the edge of my seat, wondering what's going to happen next without the bah, you know, moment. And just keep me to where, you know, I'm like just intensely caught into the film. I love that. But if you're just trying to scare the snot out of me the whole time, it's just not...
But that's not what Event Horizon was.
No, it was about the end of the world.
No, Event Horizon was about the end of the spaceship.
Sorry. The Horizon was the ship.
Correct. Basically, it's a haunted ghost story in space.
Yeah.
Yes, they do use the technique of, oh, look, gajunk, scary bit. Yeah, I mean, but that was kind of the thing. But it's also a good action-y adventure type, oh, what the hell's going to happen next? Oh, wow, I didn't see that come. I kind of saw everything coming because it was, I'm scary people person like that. I'm good that way. But I enjoyed the movie because at the time, it was, hey, let's take something scary and make it different. The idea of making a haunted ghost spaceship story hadn't been done too much before that. I mean, there's more of it now. I mean, you've got Dead Space and a few other movies or whatever that involve zombies and other apocalyptic-type things. But this was the idea of giving the spaceship itself a soul, demonic-possessed, evil, bloodthirsty, I want everybody's souls ship, and made it cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to watch it again.
Besides, Lawrence Fishburne was in it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I like Lawrence.
Sam Neill was in it.
I was just going to say him, too. He's done quite a few good movies.
And then some other guys.
But, you know, I just... Keenan's right there with me. I'm not... Characters are dull, though. I won't say the characters are dull. I just think the storyline kind of... Maybe it dragged. I think that's what it was. It was more of a drag.
At the beginning it does. Yeah. But that's the whole story building thing. Build up to a thing and then like go whoosh.
Mm.
Now, mind you, when I watched it again, it's like, okay, now that I'm more a bit mature in the whole movie watching culture thing, it's like, oh my god, inconsistency. Oh my god, inconsistency. Oh my god, inconsistency.
Well, it's like going back.
It blared at me.
It's like going back and watching Johnny Mnemonic now, and you're just like, yeah, right.
Well, let's put it this way. So, oh, hey, look, Corpsicle! Comment, okay, yeah, body floating around, it's going to freeze, it's going to whatever. Yet, right. You have this bottle of water floating through when they're doing the anti-gravity thing, and it's sloshing inside.
It's not frozen, yeah.
It's not frozen! Okay, and you've got these globules floating around in the engine room. Oh, wait, it's blood? Yeah, air not frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was really glaringly, obviously, that wasn't right well thought out. And this is me ripping out a movie I love, and I still love this movie. And yes, Keenan, I did know that. Comment in the chat room he put down is like, did you know that Tolkien was the stereotypical English language lit professor? And yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He just happened to make more of a hit impact on what he was doing than others did. So, jolly good for him.
A deep impact?
Yes, deep impact. I love that movie, too.
That's why I did that.
But yes, Event Horizon, there was also the other thing is on the bridge. Why, for the love of God, do they make windows on the bridge of spaceships in Hollywood land? It is the stupidest thing ever.
There's only one ship in, well, okay, let me rephrase it, one TV series and movie series that the ship that I can recall never really has windows on the bridge.
There's more than one.
They have a projector, but they don't have, yeah, well, that entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Star Trek series.
I was going to say, if you didn't say anything else and you said Star Trek, it's going to Star Trek. You know what? It's a screen.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're buried in the middle of the ship.
Which is really smart.
Yes. Because it doesn't matter what you can see in space anyways. You have no perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Great, you see something in front of you. Guess what? It could be moving at the speed of light and then it's gone. Like, what? Where? That's why you have instrumentation panels to detect where is it.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is one of the things that does bug me about sci-fi type movies and shows. Somebody once, I can't attribute to who the quote was from, bridge, also known as target. and that's how the mentality becomes in all these stories. It's like, oh yeah, the bridge is like, yeah, it's right there. It's right in front because you can see the window. So you can shoot at that and then destroy people. It's like, oh, by the way, spaceship battle, space cruiser Yamato, which I remembered as Star Blazers, the bridge was actually buried deep in the hull as well.
That is right.
Animated show. But there were some Japanese ones where that's the whole idea. Is the bridge was buried in underneath as well, because you have all that armor, you have all that protection against the outside environment, because, hey, guess what? Space is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I liked Event Horizon, and I know you don't. And I know some other people don't. But that's fine. That's why we all have variety to watch. I like some really bad movies that people don't like. And some other people like movies like The Piano and Titanic and others like that. The Pianist.
Mm.
No, it was The Piano. And Fried Green Tomatoes.
No, I think there was one called Pianist.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was one of both of those. I can't stand those movies. They make me bored. Can't even fall asleep in it because it's boring and it's grabbing on my nuts.
No, that is the ones I fall asleep to.
I can't even fall asleep in those movies. They drive me up the wall.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, like Crank or, you know.
I wasn't so much a fan of the second one. The second one was just weird.
It was weird. I give you that. First one was hilarious.
First one was fun.
But
third movie.
Third movie.
Third movie was the movie you panned on and said, oh, man, I don't like this movie. Buck Wild. Okay. I will agree with you. It had two jokes throughout the entire movie, and that's about it.
Yep.
One joke was, oh, guess we got Buck Wild on that one, and they flogged that to death. And the second one was, oi, I'm what you might call around in these parts a badass. A British-speaking, floofty-poofy, as a badass in redneck territory. That made me laugh my ass off.
I never got that guy. That one tripped me out. I think my favorite scene, though, of the whole movie was the way to slow down a zombie.
Okay, you, for some strange reason, seem to be liking the whole, hey, man, you want a snack, munchie? The special brownies.
Special brownies.
That was amusing. And
got a Dr. Phil moment in that. Come on.
Well, yeah. But it okay, the zombie makeup wasn't that great in this movie.
No, it wasn't.
It was kind of, okay, so they just put a little rouge and a little powder and a little gray to the face. They made some fun about chupacabras. It's the rednecks and stuff like that. It was a pretty basic movie. The thing that got me is going to be something you probably didn't see. They edited this movie on freaking Final Cut Express.
Really?
Okay, I could tell that. Do you know how I could tell that? Ow. The fade-ins, the fade-outs, the swipes, all of these things are the basic protocols within Final Cut Express. Mm. Now, that's not bad, but for a professional movie to be made with some degree of professionalism, mm-hmm. you might want to use a bit more professional editing. And once you see the credits, okay, the dude that wrote the movie is one of the stars of the movie, and he edited the movie. Oh, okay, so it was his baby. Yeah, that's fine. I think he did a really good job for what he had. He probably didn't have much of a budget to do this movie, and I thought it was done well enough for what they were doing. But they did do the whole beating a dead horse with the one joke, or two jokes, a couple of jokes, and the one guy, he's always getting attacked, and his clothes get ripped off every time.
Yeah, I forgot about that guy.
That was funny the first time, and then the second time, but by the 15th time,
yeah,
it's not so funny anymore.
Ain't nobody want to keep seeing his granny little ass.
Exactly. It's like, dude, what? I wanted to see more of the girl. The girl, she has two scenes. She, and then she's gone.
And both scenes were
raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's nothing nude or anything, but it was raunchy. And I was like, that was funny. That was good. I like that. But it's not the best zombie movie I've ever seen, but it's not the worst zombie movie I've ever seen. The worst zombie movie I've ever seen, I will give you this, and I don't think you'll have ever seen it. You may have heard of it. I don't know. But if you have, or if you have not, check it. Mulva, Zombie Ass Kicker.
Yeah, I've heard you mention it. I really thought you were going to talk about Zombie Ass.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, but just
that's the one that I haven't seen. It may be a great movie. I can't comment on it because I haven't seen it.
By what your description was, to not watch it.
No, it's the line that I won't cross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I am not going to watch a movie about shit zombies.
Yep.
It's like, I'm sure it's got some very artistic merits. I don't care. I'm not watching shit zombies.
You'll have to remind me next week to tell everybody about Hemlock Grove.
Oh, yes. We have to talk about Hemlock Grove and Penny Dreadful next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we actually don't have very much time left. It's about 2 minutes left on the clock. Bing bong. So I just want to remind everybody, thank you all for coming out and sharing with us in this little fun time slice of hour that we like to call, I like to call, After Rot. Come check us on the Facebook, After Rot, facebook.com After Rot, or facebook.com/zombiezack.zz. And for you American type people, ZZ. I know it can be confusing sometimes to get all these things combined into different parameter combination, parabulation, permutations. I like big words, if you can't understand. I really do like big words. By all means, check us out on the Twitter. I do have an after-route Twitter as well, but I don't use it as much, so I should probably start using it some more. And check out YouTube.com/TeamZombieZach. Check out also YouTube.com, Magic Farmers Inc. Also, check out www.TeamZombieZ.com. And just to include one more spot to go and check out, ZombieZach.com. Check all of these things out. Befriend the crap out. And I don't know why, but I'm getting a whole lot of hits on ZombieZach.com right now. Strangely enough, it's like bam, 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 bam. And I want you all to come out and be my friend, because zombies like to hug everyone, and I mean everyone.
Won't you be his neighbor?
Yeet. E-dubs, thanks for sharing this time with me.
Yes, sir.
Have you all have fun, and then everybody in the chat room and all the rest of the radio land and everybody else, even listening to the replay land, have fun!
Have a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.